Dear friends in Jesus Christ, so glad you're here today. We begin James chapter 3, and as we do so, I want us to remember our present position as the saved people of God. But how did that come about, though? There's a debate in today's world as to how people got united to Jesus Christ. But the Bible is clear, though, it's not by our doing, but it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it is by God's doing that you are in Christ Jesus. We've talked about a lot in the book of James already, and almost all of it was talking about how we are to function as those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, as we go into chapter 3, we see how people who do trust in Jesus as Savior, we see how we should or should not speak. We do so not to be saved. We do so because we have been saved in Jesus Christ. In part 1 today, we see how those with a greater influence are held to a higher standard. Going to James chapter 3, we go right to verse 1, and it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, Bible teachers, if you will, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Think about teachers. If we're not a teacher, if we're a parent, we have an opportunity to influence our own children in our own family. If we are a teacher, now we have a whole classroom of people we can influence. If we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we are hopefully influencing our family, our neighbors, our friends. If we are a teacher within the church, then we have an opportunity to influence a lot more people. So what can a teacher do? A teacher can rightly handle the Word of God and bring great blessing to the students, or a teacher can wrongly handle the Word of God and bring great harm to the students. We live in a world today where there is so much confusion within even the Christian church as to what is true and what is not true, and that has come through all kinds of various teachers. So it's important that we realize the influence is there, and I believe that is a reason for the greater strictness in judgment for teachers. Thinking about that, look at the first part of verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways." It's like we're moving here toward the perfect storm, if you will. We have a situation where we can influence more people, and at the same time, we are all sinners. We all stumble in many ways. A bad combination. We want a teacher who is not stumbling, who is doing a perfect job of bringing the Word of God. Is that possible? No. Only Jesus is perfect. No Bible teacher today is perfect. I would invite you to know and to practice that passage there in Acts 17:11. I won't quote it to you, but let me put it in my own words. That's a situation where Paul is commending the people in Berea, in Asia Minor. He's commending them because what did they do? When Paul came to preach to them, they eagerly heard what he said. And then, upon hearing it, they went home, if you will, and they grabbed their Bibles and they checked out what he said to make sure that what the great apostle Paul taught was actually in agreement with Holy Scripture. They were not willing to believe it until they made sure that was true. I would challenge any of you and all of you in the very same way. I want you to faithfully come and hear and understand what I'm saying, but you really should not readily believe it, though. I would encourage you, I would challenge you to make sure that you are checking it out for yourself. Really, one of the best ways to do that is to know what's coming up in advance. I try to let you know in various ways. Know what's coming up in advance. Read it on your own. Get a good idea about it in advance. Listen carefully when you come. Take some notes. Go back home and think it through again and say, the Bible seems to be saying this. The pastor said this. Do they line up? If they do, great. If they don't, then you should come to me personally and privately. That's not something to announce to the congregation and say, pastor's teaching false doctrine, at least not at that point, but rather to come to me personally and privately and say, hey, pastor, I was taking a look at what you said versus what the Bible says, and I think I found a contradiction here. I want to show it to you. So show me what you found. Let me take a look at it. And I might have to say the following week, hey, people, I thought I had that right last week, but someone came to me, they pointed out something to me. In fact, that person is right. I want to retract what I said and tell you the truth. We want to get this right. But I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to do the very best that I can. But it's important for all of you, though, to make sure that what you're taking in and what you're believing is the truth of God's holy word. In the second part of verse 2, it says, "And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle or to restrain his whole body." So both Bible teachers and believers should be very careful, but at the same time, let's never think that we have arrived. Let us know that we are always, always in desperate need of God's forgiveness through Jesus. In the second part now, I want to go back to what I said to the children, but we're going to look at the actual Bible passages. So in verse 3, it says, "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well." So we have the rider controlling the bit, controlling the very large horse. In verse 4, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs." So we have the pilot, he's controlling the small rudder, and it's influencing that entire large ship. It's amazing. Let's go to the fourth one. With the fourth one, it says, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." We know that in various parts of the country, they're dealing with fires. And how did those fires begin? We know they began with the very smallest of flames. That's how they began. We don't know if it was intentional or not, but either way, though, it began with a very small flame. Look at the great destruction it is causing. God wants us to see and realize that small things can have a very great influence on large things. And then finally, in verse 5, the first part, it says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." So our tongues are small, but they can have great influence. So may God control our hearts, which control our tongues, so that we might function in ways that are truly honoring to him. In the third part, we see that the tongue is very powerful to sin. Verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members. The tongue is staining the whole body. The tongue is setting on fire the entire course of life. The tongue is set on fire by hell." Those are pretty strong words, but probably all of us, so at one time or another, can think of a time where we're talking with someone else, we're tempted to say something, even though we know we shouldn't, we say it anyway, and it leads to a huge mess. Can anyone relate to that? Okay, so we know our tongues, though they are small, can get us into a whole bunch of trouble. In verses 7 and 8, it's talking about how our tongues, in a sense, are more destructive and are more untamable than any animal God has created. Notice what it says. "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." You know, when I think about taming the animals, I kind of date myself a little bit. I think back to when we had SeaWorld here close by, and you think about them taming the killer whales, and they could just tame everything, couldn't they? Well, today, that goes on throughout the world. Everything has been tamed except the tongue. So the tongue cannot be tamed by ourselves. It's impossible. No matter how hard we try, we cannot do it. What we need is that transformation of the heart, and then from the heart will flow what is pleasing to God out of the mouth from the tongue. In the final part here, we're really getting to the point of the whole thing, if you will. In verse 9, it says, "With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, those things ought not to be so. That's a lot of what the whole book of James has been about. James has been saying, you guys are the forgiven children of God, so why aren't you functioning like the forgiven children of God? That's been the point over and over and over again. So I've been challenging you each week to remember who you are, God's forgiven children in Jesus Christ, and then to function in that way. So every week when you walk out the door, you should be saying, boy, Pastor has given me something that has challenged me and something that if I want to take the Word of God seriously, that means I walk out that door a different person because now I have new information to be able to apply to every moment of every day of my life in Christ. So it's not an easy thing. They say that if you've had a habit for 10 years, it will take you, with effort, it will take you 10 months to overcome a habit of 10 years. If you've had a habit for 50 years, it will take you 50 months working at that day by day to overcome that habit. We all have bad habits as believers in Jesus Christ. God is calling us to recognize there are certain ways that are not fitting for the children of God. So if we have a habit of speaking in certain ways, God is saying, take that seriously. It is not fitting for those who know Jesus Christ to speak in a particular way. So we have to tie a string around our finger. We have to do something to remind us that now I'm working on a new habit. I want to do it because it is pleasing to God. I want to do it because I want to show by what I say that I'm a forgiven child of God. We don't do it to earn our salvation. We want to do it to honor the one who has freely saved us in Jesus Christ. What we need is a transformation of heart. So God does that by His Spirit through His Word. So as He transforms our heart, and we know Jesus Christ, that is the beginning. And then as we continue to grow in Jesus Christ and to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, then that controls the heart more and more, which controls the tongue more and more, which is a blessing to us and to others. God wants us to move in that direction. In the Lutheran Study Bible, it says, the righteous should reflect what God has made them to be. It's that simple. God has made us to be His children. We should reflect that reality in what we say and do. Have we always done that? By no means. But God wants us to know that whatever it is in the past, however we have fallen into sin with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions, with our attitudes, God wants us to know that all of it, that is forgiven in Jesus Christ. That is good news. He took those sins. He took that punishment. It's all forgiven. It's all done away with. He wants us to rejoice in that reality and then go forward into our lives being the people He has made us to be. A couple questions here now coming up in verses 11 and 12. Does a spring pour forth the same opening, from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Does it? Yeah, definitely not. There used to be a place out in Lake County, I don't know if the spring is still flowing there, but it was a place where people would go and they would gather spring water. So there was a pipe coming out of the side of the big hill there, if you will, out of the shale, and the water would flow all the time, year round, so people would bring their jugs, fill them up, and take home that spring water. Now, I don't know, today we might be thinking, should we have that tested? Maybe it's not quite as good as we think it is, but that spring water would come all the time. You never had to wonder, hey, today is it bitter? Tomorrow will it be good? You never had to wonder. It was always this fresh, clean, good-tasting spring water. Well, God wants us to know that that's how things work. Look at 12a. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Can that happen? No, definitely not. These are very basic things. Finally, he says, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. The Lutheran Study Bible said, creation itself cannot be two different things at once. Have you ever seen an apple tree with oranges on it? No, that would be like really odd, wouldn't it? Think about how odd that is, and then think about how odd it is for a Christian both to curse and to bless out of the same mouth with the same tongue. We should see that as being just as odd as an apple tree with oranges. God wants us to know these things are not fitting for us who are the forgiven children of God. The Lutheran Study Bible goes on to say, neither can a person who is recreated by God serve him and curse others at the same time. Here's my comment. Those of the world tend to speak like the sinful world, but those who are of Christ tend to honor him and bless others. I use the word tend thinking about 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. What we practice, we don't do all the time, but that's our tendency. So from my heart, my desire is all the time to please the Almighty God. But the problem is, I still have the old nature, and sometimes the old nature wins, and sometimes coming out of my mouth would be things that don't please God. But my tendency, my practice, what I'm trying to do is to go in the way that is right for me because God has made me his forgiven child in Christ. God is calling us to see these realities, to practice them more and more in our lives, but to know at the same time that whenever we fall short in Christ, we are forgiven. Let me conclude here with our two follow-up questions at the end. Number one, why are Bible teachers held to a higher standard? I'm sorry, Hilda? Okay, you are teaching God's word, so that becomes important because if you do it right, God can work through that word to bring people to heaven. If you do it wrong, well, the devil can work through that word to bring people to hell. So, sure, that's one reason. And what would be another reason for holding them to a higher standard? They have an opportunity to do what? Yeah, so to influence a lot more people. So we want to be careful of that. And, you know, it's kind of mixed up in today's world. Sometimes people would say, oh, look at that guy. Look at all the people who follow him and listen to him. That must mean that what he's saying is good and right. But is that always true, though? Not necessarily, because actually, when people are saying things that we want to hear or that our sinful nature wants to hear, we're like, boy, I like what that guy's saying. Now I can continue to function kind of like the devil in my life. I can go hear him. He tells me I'm doing okay. So now sometimes that kind of a person can attract a big crowd. So we have to be careful of that. We always want to know that the person to listen to is the one who is speaking in agreement with God's holy word. That's what matters. Question number two, in a spiritual sense, what controls the tongue? Okay, the heart. Very good. So the heart is controlling the tongue. So God is the one who has to make the change in the heart. We cannot do it. We are poor, miserable sinners. We are helpless to do it. But God must take action. God wants to take action. God does take action by the Holy Spirit working through his holy word to show us our sin, to give us that gift of faith to trust in Jesus, to know that we are his forgiven children, and then rejoicing in who God has made us to be, rejoicing in our hearts, now from our hearts that are excited about God's salvation, that are excited about living for Christ, that are excited about telling the good news, now from that heart, it works up through our tongues and out of our mouths, things that would bless God and be a blessing to others. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, since we have been purified from all of our sins by your precious blood, may our speech always please you and bless others. Amen.